Kim, thanks so much. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN, along with Rich Scheidner, longtime stand-up comedian and writer, author. He'll be appearing at Zany's in St. Charles tonight and tomorrow night. Rich, how are things? Good to talk to you again.
Good, Bill. How you doing?
Really good, thank you.
Hi, Rich. I want to know why you you used Kaja Gugu.
Well, any excuse to play Kaja Gugu, but too shy, Rich Scheidner. It all makes sense, Wendy.
Oh.
It all makes sense. Rich, is the attitude changing of the people who come to see stand-up comedy? I don't know if you read the papers, but things have been crazy the last couple of years. I don't know if you've seen this. Is the attitude a little different with the customer, the comedy store customer now?
Well, I mean, people complain about the political correct thing or in terms of politics. I don't do politics in my act anyway, but you know, years ago, you could make jokes about both sides. You can make jokes about the Democrats, Republicans, or how you want to put it, conservative liberals, and both sides would take a laugh there, but you can't do that anymore. I mean, you do one joke about one side, and they hate you for the rest of your show, and the other people are, then you do about them, and then everybody hates you. I mean, nobody has any tolerance anymore for that kind of thing, so you have to pick a side and then just develop an audience for that if you're going to do politics. I don't find any difference. I just talk about, you know, being married, and that really hasn't changed in about 5 billion years. So, you
know. And everyone can relate to that, and everyone who's married,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
I hate that no one likes each other anymore. I really do. I hate that no one likes each other anymore. Everybody's so not civil to one another. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I don't know. That happened. I mean, my dad, you know, he was in politics way back, and him, you know, they all got along. They just all, Republicans and Democrats, they got along. I don't know what, you know, I don't know where it changed or what happened. I don't know, you know, it's just a different time. That's all I know. But the things I got to do, you know, I still got to go to Costco and get like 6,000 rolls of toilet paper.
That'll never stop.
My life hasn't changed, no matter who's the president. You know, I still got a honeydew list. You know, I still got to clean the leaves out of the gutter.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a sucky job.
Yep.
Hey, Rich, I got to ask you, do you start panicking when that giant package of toilet paper is about a quarter left? Because I send my husband out. It's like, no, you have to have a backup case of it.
That's so true. I do look at it. I go, you know, honey, we only have 15 rolls of
right.
pounds left.
It's an emergency.
Yeah.
Rich, why did you go into this? Oh, go on. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Why did you go into this originally? When you were a kid, what happened that you said, I think this will be my life. I think I'll just go from town to town and tell my stories. What happened?
I was in law school. I mean, it really was, you know, and of course their parents are happy because they're telling everybody, he's going to be a lawyer, and my family needs a lot of lawyers. There's a lot of criminal activity on one side of my family, that side was really happy. They're like, oh, great, a defense. But I was always funny in my, and people who I grew up with, I mean, I didn't realize how funny it was, always was. I mean, my dad loved comedy. He'd go see live shows, you know, Don Rickles. I mean, he had comedy albums, so I'd listen to him. And he, you know, it's sort of like that's what he wrote. He was always like a funny guy. I mean, I remember one time I was out drinking with my buddies. I was about 18 years old, and this really happened. I broke my foot in a bar, and you know they dropped me off in the morning, and I come in the door with a cast on my foot. I'm still hammered. I come stumbling in the door, and my dad's sitting there having breakfast. He's getting ready to go to work. He goes, "What happened, here, boy? What happened?" I go, "Well, dancing in a bar, and some guy came down on my foot and he broke it." My dad just goes, "Well, dance with women, they're lighter."
He's right.
I mean, he always had that kind of sense of humor. So I just, you know, but of course, when I said I was going to do comedy for a career, when I quit law school to do comedy, my dad, he didn't, there's nobody in showbiz in my family. So he would tell people I was captured by a religious cult. That's a Mooney's guy.
That's easier for him to handle than you going to do stand up.
Yeah.
Far easier. What is the difference? I know you did most of the major talk shows, starting with Johnny Carson, and then you went through with Jay Leno and Letterman and stuff. In your head, Rich, are you thinking different things as you're approaching each of those sets, or is it kind of a similar pattern to all of them?
Well, you know, they're practiced. I mean, there's only one guy, you know, that Albert Brooks was the only guy I ever heard of who just wouldn't do stuff like make it up that day and then go do it on Tonight Show.
Yeah.
He was like this genius that way. But the rest of us, we just practiced, you know, they go, okay, come in and tell us what you want to do. And you come in and you tell them the 5 minutes. Then they'd approve it. And then you just would practice that for a couple of weeks. Every night you go to a club and you just practice doing that 5 minutes. And so there was no improv in that 5 minutes.
But the attitude was different. The audience was different. The attitude of the room was different between Letterman and Leno, and it was certainly Johnny Carson, right? You had to take that into account to some extent.
Between Johnny Carson and Letterman, absolutely, because it was a little edgier, so you do a little edgier stuff. I mean, it was just because it was like that hour later at night, and they would approve things that Johnny Carson wouldn't approve? Absolutely.
Were you aware, when you made Johnny Carson laugh, were you aware of it at the second, or did you have to pick up on that later when you'd watch it on tape?
No. And it was always that, this actually happened. You know, my dad never called me up. I did a bunch of Tonight Shows and Lettermans, and my mom would call me. My dad never did, you know. And then one night I was on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And they'd always tell me, I was one of those guys that sometimes I'd go to the couch and sometimes I wouldn't. They say, when you finish your set, I'd just look over to Johnny and he'd either wave me over to the couch or just give me the okay sign. I'd go back to the curtain.
Yeah.
So one night I'm doing this and I look over and he just gives me the okay sign. So instead of just turning and walking back to the curtain, I backed out. I backed away from the audience like a gunfight. I pulled my jacket back like I was backing out of a saloon in an old Western.
Yeah.
And Johnny starts laughing. I mean, I have the tape, and he starts laughing. And the camera goes to him, and Ed McMahon's going, what's he doing? And Johnny goes, he's doing a gunfighter. It's great. And he's laughing, right? Because I looked at the audience like I was wary, you know, like I didn't trust them, and I'm backing out. And my dad calls up the next day and goes, you made Johnny laugh. You're great. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like,
sure.
He was watching. He just couldn't give it up to me yet, you know?
Johnny loved comedy about gunfighters. If you did a Wyatt Earp bit to Johnny, that was gold. Yeah, you can't beat that.
It's so different when you get, you know, some gratification of your parents liking what you've done. Doesn't it mean so much?
Yeah, it does. Oh. It does.
Well, there's psychology, you know? Rich, where they say that a lot of comedians are doing it just to get somebody on their side. Maybe they didn't get approval from their moms or their dads, so that's their second chance at it. Do you agree with that or disagree with it?
Well, I have a theory. I have a book called Kicking Through the Ashes that I wrote. It's all about my experience as a stand-up comic. And my theory is comics, it's a kind of extreme thing. I know a lot of funny people who never, when I was growing up, they never tried to go on stage like I did. I think you were either raised like a prince or a POW. You got a lot of approval, way so much approval when you're growing up. You know, everything you did, parents applauded, or you got none whatsoever, and you're treated, you know, like a dog, you know?
Yeah.
And so you go on stage because you're not going to get that kind of approval working in an office somewhere. You know, that. So you're a prince, you go on stage because you're getting what you naturally expect you should be getting. You're going to get that applause and that approval. And you're a POW, you're going on stage because you're looking for what you never got.
Yeah. There's something
so
to that.
I can always tell the difference between, by the way they handle applause at the end. You know, at the end, the prince can't get enough applause. They'll stand up there and bow until the audience finally gives it up and stands and applauds, right?
That's what I do.
The POW, man.
Yeah.
They slam that mic back into the stand and leave before the audience changes their mind.
Rich, whenever you do the road, you're working with comics that you've never met before. And the only thing you have in common is that you both do stand-up comedy. So inevitably, the talk turns to who's the best at this, and the name Bill Cosby would always, always, always come up. Every comedian had this admiration for Bill Cosby. What do we do now? Can we still
write him a letter in jail? That's what we do now.
What do
I can't even believe that.
I totally look. I do this lecture on the history of stand-up comedy. I have all these funny stories, and I know the history of it. And you're right. You're absolutely right. He was one of those guys. I mean, I've saw him live a couple of times. I was backstage with him, and he would sit there and tell stories for 2 hours, then go out on stage and do another 2-hour show.
Jeez.
Comics had huge admiration for the guy, but not now. He's persona non grata. You can't ignore what comic does off stage, what they've done on stage. You just can't ignore it.
Right. Yep.
I mean, the guy's a criminal. He's a rapist. I mean, the end of the story.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this, too. He was so himself on The Cosby Show that it wasn't like he was playing a character. So he's just, that's who he is. So you're mad at The Cosby Show, Bill Cosby. You're mad at Bill Cosby.
You can't. Exactly. Comics, you may not like a singer, but you can. Singers can be a little bit nasty, and you kind of go, you'll put up a more prima donna stuff from from a singer, right? Because they have that singing talent. But yeah. A comic, their whole goodwill is their likability. You have to like somebody to laugh at them. You all know somebody who tries to be funny. If you don't like them, you're not going to laugh at them.
That's so true. Rich Scheidner's our guest. He's performing at Zanies in St. Charles tonight and tomorrow. Go to zanies.com. All your ticket information is there. So when you talk about the greats, the same names always come up. It's always going to be Richard Pryor. It's always going to be George Carlin. It's always going to be Lenny Bruce. Who's not getting their due, Rich? Who should be up there that America just isn't considering one of the tops, but they should?
Right now?
Well, let's go all time. But
Phyllis
right now,
Diller.
You know, Phyllis Diller says
Wendy. I loved
her. Phyllis Diller was a friend of mine. I mean, I did my third Tonight Show, and she called me up 11 o'clock at night and said, "This is Phyllis. I think you're great. You're fantastic. I'm going to have lunch with you and hang out." And I thought somebody was goofing on me. And really. And then she did that laugh. I said, "This is not Phyllis." She goes, "Ah!" And she did that laugh, you know, and she was the first female star stand-up.
Yeah.
And she did it in an era. And you got to look back. There were no women. Women weren't even allowed to be alone on stage until after World War II. They had to be in teams like Burns and Allen. And she broke out. She broke out and became a star as a woman and got her foot in the door. And then she turned the whole thing and did like that anti-Betty Crocker back when women were just supposed to be in the kitchen cooking and cleaning. And she had jokes like, "They say housework won't kill you, but why take the chance?"
I loved her.
She was great.
Yep. All right, so Phyllis
Diller
should be.
She's one of the all-time greats, no doubt about it.
Yep, no question. Rich Scheider's his name. Go see him. He's at Zanies in St. Charles tonight and tomorrow night. Zanies.com has all the ticket information. And, Rich, I know you were scheduled to be here live in studio, and I'm sorry things didn't play out. Because of the Kavanaugh hearing, we were expecting some sort of announcement sometime during this hour.
Sure.
But next time you're in town, for sure, we'll have you on, okay?
I enjoyed coming in with you guys, and I enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks, Rich. It's Rich Scheidner. He's at Zanies in St. Charles. We'll take a quick break and then a little more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.